Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
This is the reality that sets in about age and just how old we all got. And it just makes you kind of like, again, you just, your hands just go down to your knees like, damn.
If today's kids today could see their mom at the freak meet.
You know what? Don't put
what
that
would they think? What would they think about their mama? or at the MTV, like those, like the remember MTV's had the, like the big concerts,
hell
DMX
yeah.
and all them people, like the NBA, like the spring break.
Yes.
If they could see their mom at that spring break.
Oh,
what a day!
Can you imagine?
Mm-mm.
But that's like my wife always does that too. She's like, we start talking about old times, and she's like, don't tell them that. Like, don't share that. Like, what do you mean? It's all right. You had a day. We all had a day.
Yeah. And listen, our grandparents at Woodstock with all them damn drugs and free love and those clothes on.
Have you ever watched those documentaries?
Yeah.
You start seeing things, you're like,
they was high as hell.
Somebody's grandmother. Right
they was high as hell.
Well, they definitely were. But still. Well, like that second Woodstock they did, the one that was a disaster.
Yeah.
Not that the first one wasn't either, but the second one was an absolute disaster. That one, the documentary on that one, you see people and you're like, that's someone's grandmother or grandfather, right?
That's why I don't judge. That's why I don't judge my kids. You know what I'm saying? I don't say, oh, man, y'all kids today because our parents said it about us.
Man, I always say that too. Whenever someone from my generation starts complaining about what, like, you know, Lizzo or some actor, you know, somebody does, I'm always like, oh, my God, can't believe she's showing that or doing that. I'm like, did you forget Madonna?
Yeah.
Did you forget Madonna?
Stop it. You remember all the Luke videos?
Please.
Go, Keisha. Right. It's your birthday. It's your birthday. Go, 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 Red.
But like, meanwhile, what? Bart, you know we're already in hour number three, right?
Oh.
Yeah. Hour number three, Bart and Han, 98.7 ESPN, right in the heart of New York City. And when it's hour number three, Bart Scott, what's that mean?
It's the power hour, 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 hour. What is this, Five Deadly Venoms, Big Trouble, Little China? Where's the gong?
I just really hate that gong.
It's like the metal sheet.
It really is.
I feel like Raiden or Scorpion's about to come out.
See, that's our gong.
Get over here.
Yeah, it does feel like
it's
a
like the
Mortal
Big
Kombat.
Trouble, Little China, like when the Electric Man, the fake Raiden, come down from the sky.
Like, seriously, that. Yeah. That's more like a Mortal Kombat gun.
Yeah. Or Golden Child. Or Golden Child. I won't deny.
It could be that,
please.
Too. Hey, so the NBA released its, by the way, 800-919-3776. Get in on the conversation. The NBA released their first wave of all-star voting. So the first fan returns are
Bobo,
up, right?
Bobo.
So here are some of the names at the very top of the list. So you have LeBron James, of course, and Kevin Durant on the East side.
Are they going to be the captains? Do they get to pick the team?
Well, yeah, usually it's the highest vote getters. Both of them are the highest vote getters. Then after that, Giannis and Embiid and Tatum. Those are your front court. So front court's only three. So it's Durant, Giannis, and Embiid. So right now, Tatum's out. What you don't see in the front court in the East is anyone named Julius Randle. In fact, Kyle Kuzma.
Get out of here.
Has the seventh most votes. Kyle Kuzma, ladies and gentlemen.
He's
Nick Claxton has the ninth most votes.
Julius nowhere to be found. Where's New York at?
This is also interesting, by the way. On the front court side for the West, LeBron, Jokic, and AD. Zion is fourth, which means he wouldn't start.
AD?
Yeah.
I know he was having a historical clip, but, man, availability is the best ability.
So the guard side of things on the West, it's not a surprise. Oh. It's Steph Curry and Luka Doncic. And Ja Morant is so far behind those two, there's no chance he's starting. Steph Curry has 2.7 million, and Luka has 2.3.
Kyrie's not on that
list? This is what I'm saying. On the East side, Kyrie Irving leads all guards. 2 million votes.
He's quiet.
So much for that. So much for that. And Donovan Mitchell, by the way, Knicks fans, is number two. So he would start at guard over James Harden. And he's got more votes than Harden right now. So that's that. But again, the only Nick on the list is Derrick Rose, who has the ninth most votes.
Derrick Rose.
Yeah, no Jalen Brunson, no Julius Randle anywhere to be found in this whole thing. Again,
I'm disappointed at the name.
It's early.
I'm disappointed at the name you didn't say.
Weiwei?
Yes. Where's Weiwei?
Weiwei is not in the league. You're looking for Bol Bol.
Yes.
Yeah. He's not in the top 10.
The African Weiwei.
His teammate, though, Paolo Banchero, has the eighth most votes.
Wow.
It's only the first run, though. They do, I think, four of these or three of them. So it's there's plenty of time. But it just brings me, though, to the Julius Randle conversation, because he's been phenomenal. He had the best month of his career just coming off that in December. He's averaging pretty much a double-double at this point. His numbers have been fantastic. And the Knicks are 21-18, so they have a winning record. And they're guaranteed to have a winning record at the halfway point of the season, and they haven't done that in a decade. And he's playing great. And last night, he actually didn't play well. They get the win over the Spurs. It was not a pretty game, but they get the win. But there was one point where it was a bad pass kind of play. And last year, he would have hung his head, put his hands on his hips, and maybe jogged back. That didn't happen. He chased down and had an emphatic block shot. In fact, I think he blocked four shots, had three steals. And, you know, he's just a different guy than he was last year. Now, in the blowout win over the Suns, he did his walk-off interview with MSG Network's Rebecca Harlow. And I want you to listen to something that he said, and you think about this, that on Saturday, it will be a year to the day that he did thumbs down, shut the blank up to Garden fans. And he was booed mercilessly the rest of that season. Now, listen to him here with Rebecca Harlow on where he is and his favorite things now about this run he's on.
Playing in front of the fans in the Garden, man. It's a love. I love it.
What a turnaround. So I need to know from Knicks fans at 800-919-3776. Because we saw Francisco Lindor do this. He went from the whole thumbs down thing to back in good graces, and they loved him again. So are you thumbs up with Julius Randle? That's what I need to know. Like, where are Knicks fans at with him? Because he should be an all-star. He's playing like one. He won't be a voted as a starter. But, I mean, and I've been highly critical of him, but it's impossible to be critical of him over the last 6 weeks of basketball that he has played.
I mean,
you got nothing for me on this? Nothing?
No, listen, he has been playing well, but, you know, it always kind of goes with the perception, right? He's a good player, but he just doesn't have that name recognition, right? You would think that, you know.
I didn't ask you if he's a star. That's not what I'm asking you. A year ago, I mean, he was at a place that it's very hard to return from a place like that. When you're thumbs down, where you're telling fans to shut the blank up. The attitude he was carrying, he was not playing hard. Normally, you are done. There's no chance. Like, you got to get him out of New York. He's never recovering from this. And I want to see, like, a year later, he's getting MVP chance that he's got. I'm not saying is he a star. I'm not saying anything about can he lead the Knicks to something special. I'm not asking that. I'm simply asking about whether or not this guy is, if fans are willing to embrace him again or not. No, I've seen enough.
I think we forgive and forget here in New York, right? I think everybody's entitled to a bad moment, right? You see that a lot of times with some Yankee stars, right? You know, you can always have –
What Yankee stars?
I forgot the guy that came here. And, well, he never recovered.
No.
Yeah, he never recovered.
It was more the Mets thing. That was the big thing.
Well, the point is – everybody loves a redemption story, and if you're playing well and you're winning for the Garden, they love you, right? And the issue was last year, you know, it was high expectations for this team that, you know, when Julius Randle got them to the first round, they lost to the Hawks. You know, it was optimism that, you know, they'll come back and they'll be able to win and only to be worse than he was the year before. I think that they just, you know, he showed a lot of immaturity, right? Because he thought, hey, man, I give you guys everything I got. I was an all-star last year. Where's my love? Where's the love? He was like Roscoe Jenkins. Where's the love, daddy? Show me some love, right? And, you know, he just didn't get it. But he has to understand that in New York, you're always on the lease, right? You have to play well. You have to continue to play well. And when you don't play well, we see it with all our teams. You don't play well, they're going to let you know about it. No matter how good you've been playing, they will check you and let you know exactly. It's like the black wave that they have, like with these K-pop fans, right? They don't turn the lights on. They give you that black wave. They let you know, man, you have to entertain them. They have high expectations. And playing in the greatest arena of all, they expect you to play well, but they expect you to have the right attitude as well, right? And they expect you to appreciate the fans. And we have some of the smartest fans around. But I do believe that, you know, the way that he's playing, that they will forgive him. And it'll be water under the bridge. But that can come back. If he doesn't play well, if they make it to the playoffs or they have a play-in game and he doesn't play well, they'll hate him again. That's just New York.
Yeah, well, it's right. You're always just one loss away from being hated again. 800-919-3776 is the number. Curious to get, like I said, the response on this, because I've been waiting to see it. And in the building, you're starting to see that the fans are responding to him, where it was always lukewarm. Start of the season, very lukewarm. But little by little, as he's kind of just gone through the season, it picks up and picks up. And now, I mean, again, he was at the free throw line on Monday, and you heard MVP yesterday getting ovations on that chase down block. Like, in my head, I'm going, is this all? Is it forgive and forget? Like, is this all forgiven at this point? We'll get to your calls momentarily. It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. If you want to relive some of Michael Kay Show's 20th anniversary, you can catch the unplugged segments on the ESPN New York app. Just download the free ESPN New York app. Scroll down to the unplugged tile. Enjoy episodes 1 and 2 live now. It's brought to you by Jackpocket. Play official state lottery games like Powerball, Mega Millions on your phone. Download the Jackpocket app. Get your first Mega Million or Powerball ticket free using code ESPN. Must be 18 or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. All right, Bart, let's get to the calls. 800-919-3776. Carlos in New York. What's up, Los?
What's up, guys? How are we?
Good.
Thing with Julius Randle, man, is he's so frustrating. Like, I feel like for the first 40 minutes of the game, this guy's doing great. He's hitting shot after shot, like, leading us. And it gets down to crunch time. He just makes the stupidest decisions.
The double teams come. The passing gets a little awry. Free throws, yeah.
And we just spent $100 million on Jalen Brunson. Like, let this guy run the offense. Slow it down a little bit.
You know what, though?
Man, like, it's nice.
Carlos, I'll say this. Thanks for the call. I actually think Brunson has actually been great for Randle, because now Randle, like, his turnovers are down.
Right.
Because he doesn't have to be a playmaker.
He's not the facilitator. He's not a natural playmaker. He's best playing off the ball.
Right.
And having offense facilitated to him.
Yes. Just focus on scoring. That's what you're good at. And actually, he's been rebounding like a monster. He's been great on the boards. So it's like almost like just play this role and you'll be fine. And I think that's what's working. And Brunson, his presence alone, I think, has made him better. More on this. How about Dan in Garden City? What's up, Dan?
Hey, fellas. How are you today?
Good.
Good.
I'm an old-time fan. I go back to the 1960s for that first championship, first and only real championship.
Lucky you were there to see it.
Is that before Christ, B.C., or?
Stop.
Let me tell you, basketball was so good back in those days. And the superstars that were around the league were just unbelievable to see Oscar Robertson play, and all of them were fabulous, fabulous. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I wanted to talk about Julius Randle. I think he's playing really, really good now. Yeah, he's got some faults. He occasionally will take a bad shot, but I'll disagree with the last caller. You need Randle to be a second option. You can't just take the ball out of his hands. The other team, they become so much harder to guard when there are two guys who can take the ball and do it all by themselves without passing the ball. And I think that's a great weapon to have in the closing minutes of the game. As long as his head stays on straight, I think Thibodeau has done a fabulous job helping him to resurrect his game and how he passes the ball. And just Thibodeau's just done a great job getting him online and and into his mode of play.
Yeah, see,
hey,
I agree.
Dan,
I agree with that part, Dan.
Dan, do you believe that New York deserves a bigger star?
That New York deserves a bigger star?
Right.
Well, how do you deserve a star?
I mean, this is the greatest city. This is the greatest city in all the land. I mean, you come here, it's big buildings.
Yeah, but you got to get a
best
star
of everything.
Gets developed, or you get them, but they don't. You know,
but you haven't had one since Carmelo.
Yeah, they don't deserve it because they wouldn't make a trade for one. So
I see where you're coming from. as a fan, no, I don't need a superstar because I have respect for the overall game. Going back to the 69 team that I idolized so much, every one of those guys can shoot. Every one of those guys preferred to pass the ball to an open man. The team play, to see them unselfishly on every play, every game, in and out, they just pass the ball to the open man.
I appreciate that.
You can't not love the game when it's played like that.
Yeah, and Dan,
but the game is so much different, though.
But Dan, thanks for the call and the perspective. See, Bart, I think what Dan's saying, though, and I think that's part of the issues going forward in New York when it comes to basketball, is that team set a standard that I don't think could ever be met. Which, because it was such an unselfish team.
But
it was five guys that weren't in the top five in the league. There were other great players in the league, but five of them became Hall of Famers because of how they played together, right?
Yeah,
like, that's what was different about them, and it's just hard to find teams like that to ever play like that again.
But that's unfair. I mean, probably the last team that was like that was probably the Spurs with all the unselfish superstars.
Yep.
I think
Golden State was like that for a while too, the early part of the Golden State's dynasty. I mean, they were so unselfish.
See, but now they have superstars. They have two superstars. Like, I know we disrespect Clay a lot and he didn't make the top 75, but he's deserving of that. I just think the game has changed so much, and I feel like the philosophy from New York hasn't changed. Like, you have to have a star. You have to start there. You have to go all in to get one.
And that's the thing about Randall, is that Randall will never really truly be embraced because it's like Carmelo wasn't truly embraced. And he was when he came to the Knicks, he was a great player. He was a top 10 player in the league. And he wasn't fully embraced because he couldn't do it by himself,
right,
which no one was at that time. That was the era of the big threes. And they just couldn't build a big three with him. So
now it's the era of the big twos.
Yeah.
And the Knicks don't really have a big two. Like,
they don't.
I mean, you think about Paul George and Kawhi, right?
Yeah, who never play.
You look at all the people, you know, LeBron and AD. Like, everybody has somebody. We don't even have the first superstar, right? We don't have one superstar. Everybody has, like, two.
You're right.
Like Giannis and Holiday.
Yes. But what you're saying, we already know.
They
couldn't get the star. He was there to be had, and they decided not to get him. That's it. Donovan Mitchell. They had a chance. They decided not to get him.
How much would this hurt this regime?
I think
the fact that they weren't able to close the deal.
They weren't willing.
Weren't willing. Willing and able are pretty close to each other, right? Because somebody
big difference between willing and able.
Yeah,
if you're able to do it, if you're not able to do something, it was out of your hands. If you're not willing to do something, that's a choice you made.
Yeah, and what makes it worse is now you have to watch an Eastern Conference Donovan Mitchell do what he does.
You're going to hear all about it.
It's not like it's out in Utah.
You
hear about it. It's front and center.
Like I said, I'm living this every day, but it should not overshadow a player that 2 years ago was a revelation. Last year was someone that everybody, including myself, was like, this guy's never going to survive this. He can't be here anymore. You've got to move on from him. I really believe that. I thought for sure he was never going to survive this. And here we are a year later to the day, and he's got them chanting MVP for him at the Garden.
That is surprising to me. Was 2 years ago his ceiling?
No, he's playing better now.
So is this time to try and figure out how to move Julius Randle?
Well, that's some feel that way.
Is this the time to move him? His value is the highest it can be. As so many teams that need a guy like him.
But the dangerous thing about doing that, Bart, is once you get – you can't move him without getting someone who can do what he can do, which is production.
But
you can't do that.
You'll be a lottery team in the snap of a finger if you move him and don't replace
the production.
But you can't be in the middle, though. That's the problem. You either got to be bad or good. Like, being stuck
in
the middle.
They've been bad for 10 years. It's time to start being at least good and build from there.
Nah,
can we please?
I think you got to move them and you got to take a big chance. You got to move guys. It's like, to me, moving Julius Randle is like the Pistons.
Are you saying that they should tank? Now that they've got a team that's competitive and three games over 500 at the midpoint of the season, that this is like, you know what, blow this up.
Moving your best player at the height of his value, being able to get more than anything because there's not a lot of wing players that's available.
Let me tell you,
is a smart move.
It's the fastest way to get fired.
You saw the Pistons move Jeremy Grant. He was their best player. He's a good player. He's a Julius Randle type of player.
Bart, that's not a good comparison.
They're not
the
same.
The Pistons weren't winning with him. They weren't winning at all. They've been bad for a long time.
But
they moved him to get value. That's all they did.
But realistically, this year and the year before, what are they really winning with Julius Randle?
Well, last year they didn't do anything because he was bad.
Right, but
they are now in the sixth spot in the East, which is out of the play-in, with him because he's playing well, and they have Jalen Brunson. I know,
but what's
this isn't leading to a championship this year. I get it, but I mean, for God's sakes, it's still better than being awful.
Let's ask the people.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Talk a little Knicks here. As the question just being asked is a simple one. Is Julius Randle playing the best basketball? I'm telling you right now, it's the best basketball he's played in his career. I know he was most improved All-NBA All-Star 2 years ago. And I'm telling you, statistically and the eye test, he's playing better now in this run. And a year ago, he was thumbs down at fans at the Garden, telling them shut the blank up, all that stuff. A year later, he's talking about how it's all love at the Garden now, getting MVP chance. So I just want to know from you, have you forgiven? I go, is he back in good graces? Is it official? And Bart's saying, you know what? He's playing so well right now, time to sell high. He's saying trade him. I'm like, whoa. Knicks are three games over 500.
Hey, man.
Can you really do this? So let's get some more calls on this. Dave in East Meadow. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. Welcome back. Full time, the best radio show in the best city.
Appreciate
it. Happy to have you guys back. Yes, Julius Randle, all is forgiven. You know, when you do what he did, you have to work hard to get the respect back. And you can even tell by his body type. He's putting in the work and rebounding, as we all know. A lot of that is effort and hustle. And he's doing those things to embrace the fans. He's not only scoring, but he's doing the rebounding and trying to play better defense. You can tell, okay? I will tell you also, my biggest problem this year is not Randle. It's the front office, because we heard about them accumulating assets, young players, tradable assets, and then they have the time and they have the money and the wherewithal to go out and get a Donovan Mitchell, a young ascending clutch player, and they punt on it. Mm-hmm. And what I really want to know is, was R.J. Barrett, if he didn't have to be in that trade, then we should have took the lock off the unprotected picks and made it happen. Because to me, that's my biggest
I think
problem.
He had to be in it, Dave. Yeah, thanks for the call. I think R.J. had to be in the deal and the unprotected picks as well. So as I said all along, it was both. They were looking for both. They wanted the young player, and they wanted the picks. The Knicks weren't willing to do both.
Well, sometimes you got to get rid of a good player for a great one.
Of course.
I think we would argue that we wouldn't have an argument if we said that Donovan Mitchell is a great player and Barrett is a good player. So, I mean, once again, that's another miss. That's what I'm saying. This is an opportunity to reassess. I mean,
Israel's in Queens. Israel, sorry, Bart. I thought you were done.
No problem.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. So I think he'll deserve to be recognized. He's working real hard. He's playing much better. I still think he dribbles too much, but he's become a better passer. And I think one of the problems is that the other players stand around admiring him or watching him. And if they moved more, then he would have more assists and wouldn't have to wait till the last second.
Yeah, they're working on
bad shots.
Yeah, it's a good observation.
I still think that teamwork goes a long way, I go back to the previous caller. I'm older than him, so I go back to Willie Knowles and Richie Guerin. But the those Knick teams were a beautiful thing to watch. It was like a symphony. And yeah. So were the San Antonio Spurs when they won, and so were the Warriors when they won.
Yeah.
They put the ball around. They're perpetual motion. Everybody is moving to the open spot. And I think that's, in my opinion, one of the biggest problems the Knicks have is they stand around too much.
Yeah, Israel, you're right about the standing around watching. It's something that they've been trying to break with more cutting and slashing. I think Quentin Grimes does a great job cutting and slashing. Yeah. Like, they need more of that. You're right about it, but, you know, still. I mean, so you believe that he does deserve to get some credit.
The the last no-name team to win a championship
was yours, Pistons.
Was the Pistons, right? Yeah. I mean, they had no – they had all-stars, but not really people that we would consider in the top 30.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's hard to do, too. That takes a commitment to defense, grinding it out.
Yep.
And in this era, it's hard to get
a
lot
of
people.
Catching a team like the Lakers when they were ready to just blow up.
Yeah,
that Laker team was – they hated each other. And your Pistons team caught them at just the right time.
Can Julius Randle keep up this pace, right? That's the thing, too. Like, we've seen him perform at a high level and then get tired and wore down when it gets to the playoffs.
Yeah, well,
right?
I mean,
as his competition gets better.
This has been a good five weeks solid that he has played, I mean, just high-end basketball.
No, I'm talking about, like, when we get, like, to the end, man. You know what I mean? And he's not a young spring chicken anymore, so you have to start considering – I know Tibbs don't really do this whole load management thing.
Oh, sitting guys? Yeah, good luck with that.
Or just taking people like 10 minutes off their time.
Louie in the Bronx. What's up, Louie?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Great to have you back. But for one thing, I just want to say, I'm not a Knicks fan, but if Julius Randle is playing well, it looks seems like some of the Knicks fans are stepping back. That he deserves that. The other thing I want to say is this ain't the time to get rid of him. I mean, if he's playing well, you get rid of him, and then what the team does now? You just tank? Like, they're playing well. They're over 500. It looks like he's the guy. I don't know exactly who's the guy. Is it Jalen Brunson, or was it Randle they look for to take the last shot? I'm not really sure.
It's either one who has the matchup, but the ball's going to be in Jalen's hands.
That was going to be my next point. That you're looking to have two guys that can do that, and they have that right now. So why would you want to get rid of one of the guys that can
to get access, because at the end of the day, no matter how well you are, you know that you legitimately aren't a contender for a title. And it's okay. Yeah, I understand being good, but you play for these titles. And, like, I think – What if you get stuck with this contract and this contract becomes a bad contract in a couple of years because he's older and he falls off the cliff?
What do you mean?
Right?
Can I ask one more question before you guys cut me off? Let me ask you a question. Who exactly are you going to get for Julius Randle?
Exactly.
I'm trying to get assets, as many assets as I can.
How many assets
are
you going to get? They got million draft picks.
Hey, man,
you can't move them.
Look at Oklahoma. Oklahoma got a bunch of assets.
Yeah,
they still
how they win
them.
It? How they winning right now?
But they have the ammunition to make a big move.
Do they? They are a low-budget, small-market franchise that's never going to make a big market move. That's the thing about
them. This is also the team that had Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Serge Ibaka.
Yeah, all through the draft. And they didn't keep any of them because they didn't want to pay them. Simple as that. And Durant left because everybody else was like – he's like, all right, so now Russ is the guy. I'm out of here. So no, you can't make a comparison to a New York team and an Oklahoma City team. That's not a good comparison. The comparison to make is like, you know, where the Knicks are right now versus where the Lakers were when they had a lot of young guys, including Randle, and then LeBron James said, I want to come to L.A. and set up my you know, post-career, and they just got rid of all these young guys and tried to build the championship team around LeBron, and they did by getting one in the bubble. That's what you're comparing it to. How do the Knicks get to that point? Where there's that next star that just for some reason he wants to play on this stage, and can they make it happen? They had that chance this summer. They didn't want to do it. End of the story.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Bart back on First Take tomorrow, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so tomorrow back on ESPN on First Take. Now, earlier this week you were on First Take and
Tuesday.
As we talked about at the start of yesterday's show, Stephen A. asked you a question regarding the T. Higgins and DeMar Hamlin and the hit that led to – well, not the hit, but the contact that led to, of course,
the play.
The devastating results of that on Monday night. And as we said, and we played the sound, you were answering a question when Stephen A. said, what happened that led to this? And you just explained how things can happen when it comes to the hit and where you put your head in a certain place and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, the internet, of course, ran with it as they always do. One NFL reporter named Dove Kleiman decided to just clip the part of you talking about the physicality of the contact and told the world that you were clearly blaming T. Higgins for what happened to Hamlin, which you clearly said in a previous segment that you don't blame anyone, that no one's at fault, but we cut that part out. Or not we, but Dove Kleiman did.
Yeah, of course.
So he runs that. People start reacting to it, including, of course, Bills fans. And then on top of it, Bengals fans.
Yep.
And then on top of it, some players, including Micah Parsons, who you responded to just to make things clear. But still, this has not stopped the avalanche of criticism you're receiving for something that you did not really say, which is that you were blaming T. Higgins. Stephen A. Smith had had enough of it. So on First Take today, he decided to say something in your defense.
People are walking around acting like Bart Scott. Bart Scott was alluding to T. Higgins doing something like that on purpose. He did no such thing. That is not true. That is a lie. Okay? Nobody would be that insensitive for crying out loud, especially somebody like Bart Scott. That is false. I specifically asked him to explain what transpired on the play, Doggy, because he was talking about how T. Higgins got the ball and was running with it, and then at the last second created that kind of contact. It was a football play, and Hamlin tackled him. That's all that was going on. So I just wanted to get that out the way, to come to my man's defense, who was explaining to me, because I asked for an explanation for him to crystallize the football play that actually took place on the field, because he was talking about how they'll probably eliminate you as a runner, you know, putting your head into a defender's chest or anything like that with your helmet. They'd probably outlaw that. Even though it's in the rule book now, they'll probably really focus on that rule moving forward.
Stephen A., again, he's just defending you. He was the one who asked the question, and he, of course, he can't believe the ridiculous amount of criticism you're now taking for this. I can't believe it either.
Comes with the territory.
But it's irresponsible. Well, let's be honest. It's irresponsible on Dove Kleiman's part for just taking a clip and then putting, of course, some type of an outraged caption on it to draw attention to it, and then let it turn into the brush fire that it turned into against you, because it's absolutely untrue. But as we all know in this world, we only read the headline.
Right.
And I bet you half the people didn't even watch the clip,
including the players. They have no idea what was said in the first two segments. When I expressed concern for T. Higgins and happy that his mother was there,
right,
because that's a tough situation. You know, a lot of times we think about the person that was injured, but we don't think about the person who injured the player.
Who was part of the play. Now, just so you know, T. Higgins' mom retweeted that video with an angry emoji face, which is amazing since you just had said earlier in the show how much that you felt for him and for her. And that it was important for her to be there for him and all those other things. So, again, like it's one of those things where it's out of control. There's nothing you can do about it, Bart. You just have to endure it. But you know, and I know, and Stephen A. knows, and those of us around you know, that you never once tried to suggest that Higgins was at fault for what happened here.
And anybody that know me, I don't worry about, listen, they had to let me know that I was trending. I had no idea. But this is the thing. I'm comfortable with who I am as a person. And listen, I love living in my skin, and I got big shoulders. And I don't worry about what people believe or think of me. I know the truth. And, you know, if they want to see the truth, all they have to do is watch the beginning of the show. And they'll understand exactly what it is. Like, do your own research. Don't be controlled by somebody that's getting you with clickbait.
And that's literally what that turned into. So, again, you'll be on First Take tomorrow, and we try to move on. Certainly from here. And the latest on DeMar Hamlin, for anybody that has not heard yet, the good news is that last night opened his eyes, was responsive. Adam Schefter and other reporters hearing from doctors saying that he was communicating by writing things down. And one of the things he asked was, did we win the game? Which is just an amazing thing. They are very hopeful and happy that he is this responsive and cognizant. And that stuff is obviously very important, that he was gripping the hand of a relative, that his hands and feet are both, he can move them. That's all very positive stuff. His father yesterday had a Zoom meeting with the Bills players. and gave them reassurance. And a lot of the of source told Adam Schefter, the Bills player, said we needed that and that that was important. So all positive things continue to come out news-wise from the DeMar Hamlin situation as he remains, though, in critical care at the University of Cincinnati Hospital. So we continue, of course, as more news comes out. We'll give it to you, but that's the latest on that.
Yeah, and keep it and keep the energy there, making sure this young man is okay. Not at me. Like, let's not have fake outrage because you just want to jump on a wave. Man, I can care less. Do what you want to do, but I think the energy and well thoughts and energy should be put towards a young man getting better. And also T. Higgins.
Yeah, I mean, again, these are players that I mean, as far as T. Higgins and the Bengals,
I'm part of the brotherhood. I would never explain. Listen, there's a lot of times I went in a hole and I didn't know if I was going to come out the same, right? I went in there. I played a position where you run at a fullback and you ram heads like two rams, and you never know who's going to come out. Sometimes I came out injured. A player came out injured.
We'll be back tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.